Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, wee viva, catbang, half a day, jai chanendra, salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan. Peace how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corporation. In the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Now broadcasting since 2001 and trying to help the world go vegan every week. We're on now Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific, live. You can click listen live at goveganradio.com. We're syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. So Earth Day has come and gone again. Seems more and more, you know, it's the 45th one, right? It's more like, you know, one of those holidays where you just send a Hallmark card or, you know, with some thoughts, some complaints, you know. Some events, some Earth Day events were still happening this weekend. And, you know, Earth Day is to the environment as meatless Mondays or meat out is to animal rights. I don't know if we're accomplishing much with any of those. So we take one day out of the year to complain about what everyone else is doing while actually ourselves being the direct cause of the problem by eating a hot dog or a cow flesh burger. You know, while you're doing the complaining, right? Don't we feel good about ourselves, our righteous indignation expressed, well, in ignorance, in a cloud of hot dog breath, huh? I mean, even Harvard students, who are supposed to be the brightest, you know, have their light bulbs on dim when it comes to climate change, and consequently the environment. With Harvard Heat Week and students occupying the facilities at Harvard, demanding that Harvard divest from fossil fuels, while those students eat the fossil foods against which they should be protesting. And they are led in their ineffective actions by none other than Fibbin Bill McKibben, cheerleader for the Students for Divestiture, with his words delivered also in a cloud of hot dog breath, of dead animal meat breath, talketh Bill McKibben, Fibbin Bill McKibben. His pockets lined with rancher donation money, and his comments so stupid. How could he be speaking at Harvard, huh? One wonders. How is he allowed, not speaking, how is he even allowed on campus, you know? So this meat-eating environmentalist invited to speak there. Hello, Harvard students. Time for your true or false quiz, okay? It is possible to eat animal flesh, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and still be an environmentalist. True or false, Harvard students? Come on, you're Harvard. I don't know, you're You're an educational institution whose sloganeering proclaims pursuit of the truth. So why do you invite a rancher-financed, meat-eating environmentalist to talk at your institution of higher learning? Considering that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, do you not know that, Harvard students? Come on, you're at Harvard. You should know that. You have a Harvard education, huh? Or do you need a Go Vegan Radio education? The Harvard true or false quiz continues. True or false. A Harvard student can still be considered brilliant even if he or she consumes meat, dairy, fish, and eggs and is not a vegan. True or false? So how academic standards must have fallen at Harvard if Fibbin, at Harvard, if Fibbin Bill McKibben is invited to speak there. Grand meat breath mouth stupidity, he tells us he is not anti-meat because meat eating is growing fastest where? In developing countries in the third world, and we shouldn't deprive those third world citizens the enjoyment of eating meat. So this is the degree of Harvard's intellectual environmental accomplishment. There's Harvard's intellectual environmental guru advising Harvard students that it is okay to let's spread heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes to the third world, to developing populations. Is that idiocy on so many levels? You know, the environmentalist, the meat-eating environmentalist, saying that third world country people should have the right to enjoy meat. It's amazing that this environmental Ronald McDonald is invited to speak anywhere, much less Harvard. But that's who's considered America's environmental leader in this day and age, 2015. If there were a real intelligent environmental movement at Harvard, the students would be occupying the cafeteria and demanding divestiture from meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And that doesn't mean replacing them with cage-free eggs or grass-fed meat or organic dairy or any of the other meat industry tricks validated by the Ronald McDonald of the animal protection scam industry, Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States, the meat industry-appointed high priest of humane torture and killing. Now, there is nobody who's a better egg salesman than Wayne Pacelli. I mean, let's face it. His Meatless Monday campaign has resulted in record high per capita consumption of eggs and the highest egg industry revenues in 30 years. This leader of the animal rights movement, egg salesman, who has all the other groups following him, HSUS literally is a middleman for providing its clients with eggs, with cage-free eggs, so it's the leader of a groupie groups of egg salesmen out there masquerading as animal advocates, those being Mercy for Animals and Farm Sanctuary, Compassion Over Killing, and Farm Animal Rights Movement. All do their duty, bringing happy, humane catastrophe to chickens with their support of Meatless Mondays. When we see it's a failure, when we see it's hurting animals, shouldn't we stop? I mean, so let's stop the animal abuse by the animal rights movement, animal advocacy movement, and let's dump the Meatless Mondays, okay? Unless you really are egg salesmen, and wouldn't we be suspicious of that fact since you all partnered with United Egg Producers in support of enriched cages? I don't know. And then, Farm has its special one-day-per-year meet-out. out. I guess where people eat eggs and dairy for three meals that day, and then they feel that they've done their part, right? You know, it's like Earth Day. You know, when people attend an event, they complain about, you know, some coal plant in Asia. They eat a hot dog and go home feeling that they've done their part for the environment. And regarding the environment, by the way, I mean, did you listen to this program last week? I had such a shocking statement from Scientific American that I feel that I need to repeat it. It's so important related to the environment. Being from an article in Scientific American, Safeguarding Our Water, Making Every Drop Count, that was written by Peter Gleick. Gleick has been the director of the Pacific Institute for Studies in Development, Environment, and Security, considered one of the world's leading experts on freshwater problems, including sustainable use of water, water as it relates to climate change, and conflicts over shared water resources. And so in his Scientific American report, Gleick tells us that we can conserve water, quote, by changing what we choose to eat. Okay, so one of the foremost experts in the world on water telling us we can conserve water by changing what we choose to eat. And then he tells us, quote, growing the grain to produce a pound of beef can require between 2,000 and 8,500 gallons of water. So, and that's just growing the grain, he tells us. Growing the grain to produce a pound of beef can require up to 8,500 gallons of water. That's just for growing the grain. And so then I, you know, look to the experts at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. If you want to be in beef country, go Big Red. Oh, yes, I started Z92 in 1978, the rock station there. Go vegan, Z92 listeners. But you're in the heart of beef country where the experts tell us that a cow's intake of water on a daily basis is up to 30 gallons per day. 30 gallons per day. Lactating cows can require up to 60 gallons per day. So I'm just thinking, on top of that, you know, how much was needed to grow the grain? 30 gallons a day times 365, that's about 11,000 gallons of water on top that the cow is drinking. That could be watering our lentils and our pistachios and almonds. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Today we talk about, will science prove that a vegan diet is good for dogs? And also we talk to Kindred Spirit. Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, on Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are also a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook, extraneous, maxed out at 5,000 each, with a couple of times, you know, people stop being my friend because of what I say about you know, meat industry front groups like HSUS, which could make room for you to be my friend on one of those pages. All of these figures everywhere, you look around and you just see how wasteful it is to consume meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Even this report to the Third World Water Forum, water cost per dish. So vegetable soup takes 10 liters of water. For a dish of vegetable soup to be produced, mashed potatoes, 20 liters of water to be produced, Let's see, chicken steak, 1,500 liters, ice cream, 1,500 liters, pork chops, 2,000 liters, and beef steak, 4,500 liters, it says here. So you can have 450 bowls of vegetable soup. So you can feed 450 people with one dish, or, there's your beef steak, huh? So we feed the poor man's bread to the rich man's cow, I think it has been said. And we kill that cow at a young age. Actually, if you kind of look at it from, an objective perspective, we are kind of, I hate to say it, a nation of baby killers and baby eaters, really, if you think about it. I mean, turkeys would live to be 10 years of age, but they're killed and eaten, between 12 and 26 weeks. And look at egg-laying hens would live 10 years, but they're given a life of 18 months. All of these animals on death row, born into torture and mutilation and death row for the crime of being born. Chickens would live 10 years, but the chickens you eat are killed at 6 weeks of age. We eat the little babies. Pigs, who would live to be 15 years of age, are killed within 3 to 6 months. If they live that long, because, the diarrhea plague going around, that virus. So the pigs who do survive that 3 to 6 months did so because they were fed diarrhea to build their immunity to the diarrhea virus. So enjoy your diarrhea-fed bacon. Sheep would live to 15 years of age. They're killed from 3 to 10 months. And cows, 25 to 30 years, and they're killed. What would a cow make it? 2 years would be lucky, or is the veal calf the lucky one who's killed when just weeks old, huh? And yet, I had the most delicious burger imaginable this past week. I went to Vegetarian House in San Jose. It's a 100% vegan restaurant, organic, non-GMO. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. If you are anywhere in the Bay Area craving a burger, this burger meets the needs of all cravings. I have to tell you this. I mean, why would you crave mad cow disease and heart disease and cancer and stroke and whenever there's that food poisoning, it's the E. coli's of the world, the salmonella's, the poop all over the burgers. That's disgusting, isn't it? Well, of course, that's why you would want to eat at Vegetarian House, because it's so delicious. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. And you can check the website, vegetarianhouse.us. Vegetarian House caters. So if you're in the Bay Area and want to make that next business or social event really special, get in touch with Vegetarian House. If you're getting married, get in touch with Vegetarian House. Great food and unbelievable, so you really, really enjoy it. An international menu. What do vegans eat? Well, check out the menu at Vegetarian House, which has the most amazing desserts too. The sorbet is delicious beyond belief. You have the ice cream there, the sorbet, the chocolate tart. The desserts are amazing, delicious. It's Go Vegan Radio, goveganradio.com. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation by clicking donate at goveganradio.com. Alrighty, we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. You know how you, I'll even multitask while I'm on the air. Halfway through the email to give the phone number of the studio to my guest because we're not reaching her at the moment. So, but I guess it's not really fair for me to just, you know, be quiet and email while you're waiting. So now I have to find where else I was, what page I had open on. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this also eventually, and next hour, will I get to the Dr. Bronner story, the dirt on Dr. Bronner's? Got a letter from Dr. Bronner's, you know, shockwave sent when we found out that Dr. Bronner's donates to the Humane Society of the United States and Mercy for Animals and Farm Sanctuary and Compassion in World Farming, which does the animals no good. And we tried to point that out to Dr. Bronner's, and I got a letter from David Bronner, and then I wrote back to David Bronner, and I hope to get to those next hour. It looks like, I don't know, when I was a kid, there was a joke with a punchline. I don't remember the body of the joke, but the punchline was no soap radio, and suddenly that's where I am. I'm no soap radio. I've used Dr. Bronner's for many decades now, and I'm now seeking a new soap. This is No Soap Radio. I have about half a bottle left before I have to decide. So from chompingclimatechange.org, I wanted to discuss something that was posted there called Down with Less Meat, Up with Happy Better Vegan Foods. And you know how we feel about asking people to eat less meat or you know, just take part in Meatless Mondays. It's really, we should be really asking people to go vegan and eat no meat, but also no dairy, fish, or eggs also, since people seem to translate, you know, Meatless Monday into eat cheese omelets and glasses of cow's milk. So there were some observations made at the USDA hearing, where there were comments made on dietary guidelines, and so in chompingclimatechange.org, it says that some speakers said they were attending the meeting on behalf of a broad coalition representing millions of Americans anxious for the dietary guidelines to incorporate recommendations for less meat to improve environmental sustainability. And chompingclimatechange.org observes, one couldn't help wondering who would win a contest between millions of less meat consumers who were talking at the USDA meeting, or those representing hundreds of millions of meat consumers. It says, indeed, a number of speakers representing livestock interests spoke as if they represented the average consumer, and they pitched livestock products as center of the plate foods in the most positive terms possible. In contrast, none of those promoting less meat pitched anything easily perceived by an average consumer as center of the plate foods. Instead, they pressed for meat to be replaced with things like fruits and vegetables and more plants. They left it to the audience to puzzle over how vegetables and fruits might be something other than side dishes and desserts, and how a plant could be center of the plate food. Then it continues here. It says, one of the speakers on behalf of Less Meat. One speaker said, less meat is needed because emissions of methane and nitrous oxide from livestock production may double by 2070, making it impossible to meet climate change targets. And Americans are eager for good scientific-based information. Yet, according to the world's most prominent climate authorities, the world must significantly reduce greenhouse gases by 2017 or at latest 2020, or else climate change may no longer be controllable. So it says here at championclimatechange.org, so the less meat speakers fail to define correctly what's needed. They also fail to explain that Americans can't act to meet climate targets on their own. That's because greenhouse gas emissions and climate change are large scale and don't respect borders. So climate targets can be met only if people in much more populous countries participate, especially China and India. So what is being recommended by championclimatechange.org? It says, yes, it's even possible to sell less meat in China and India. Yes, it's even less possible to sell less meat in China and India than it is in the U.S., as there's much less perception in those countries that there is an excess of meat consumption. Less meat proponents also fail to talk about how widely cited assessments of food and climate change by the FAO and others have focused on all livestock production, not just meat production. Yet promise of less dairy products and less eggs would be even less acceptable than less meat in China and India, particularly in India, where dairy products are especially preferred. So it seems that what's needed is some sort of positive, internationally acceptable marketing or center of the plate and other vegan products. So that's marketing of center of the plate and other vegan products. They could be called something like happy, better vegan foods. In fact, terms such as happy, better vegan meat and happy, better vegan milk could stand on their own. Indeed, plant-based food products already marked already market products called grain meat, nut meat, almond milk, and the like. After all, dictionaries define meat and milk as essential foods that include vegan versions. This suggests that the dietary guidelines recommendations err in prescribing smaller meat portions without qualifying them as animal-based meat portions. Evidence for a case not to cede the term meat to livestock producers is provided in a recent article in a prominent food industry publication, which reports on a major trend to market plant-based meats for sustainability. The article quotes Ethan Brown, CEO of Beyond Meat, saying, people have a sort of hopelessness about climate change, but 51% of greenhouse gas can be attributed to livestock. If a term such as happy, better vegan foods would be used, then what's needed could be framed a preferable, delicious, center of the plate food, basically. So I guess that's what the argument coming from championclimatechange.org is, that we should not run from terms meat and milk, and that we need to make vegan foods acceptable as center of the plate options for a population that needs to change, right, by 2017 or 2020, the latest. And so we're always looking at, what can possibly work? Well, we know Meatless Mondays are a failure. All they did was increase egg consumption. So maybe this is the way to go. Anyway, Championing Climate Change is .org is an interesting website. Really uses very valid scientific information related to climate change, especially endorsing the work of World Bank climate specialists who tell us that animal agriculture produces at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. I want to thank Nature's Flavors for its support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Nature's Flavors for its support of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. This is a company with thousands of products that can help you in the kitchen, and all of them are vegan. It's a completely vegan company where you have gluten-free baking, you want vegan brownies, just the muffins, just wonderful products from Nature's Flavors, Birdie and Bill's sodas, sugar-free, delicious. Check it out, Nature's Flavors. Go to naturesflavors.com, naturesflavors.com. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio. With Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, and goveganradio with Bob Linden on Facebook. I think I'm going to try to get into the Dr. Bronner letter. Gary Francione won't be with us this week. Laura Simonson, who was our guest, we were trying to reach her a few minutes ago. She'll be available next hour. Gary Francione will be back next week. I'm going to try to get into this Dr. Bronner's letter from David Bronner. And we'll see. We'll see if I can. We'll see. We'll see how much we can get into here. But, it used to be my soap. But unfortunately, it can't be anymore. Okay, so let's see, where did his letter go? Computer screen, come here. Okay. Hi, Bob. I've been traveling and just got back in town. My team has alerted me about your concerns surrounding Dr. Bronner's support for animal advocacy causes and organizations, and your invitation to be on your show. Thanks for contacting us and for your prior support of Dr. Bronner's. As a vegan myself, I appreciate your strong stance on animal liberation and veganism. Compassion in World Farming is just one of several animal advocacy organizations that Dr. Bronner supports. Some of the other organizations we have donated to and work with are Compassion Over Killing, the Humane Society of the United States, I will skip to Mercy for Animals, what else here, Farm Sanctuary. Dr. Bronner believes that all work being done to reduce animal suffering is important work. Okay, I'm not going to comment. I just want to get to my letter back, so I won't comment. I'm reading from David Bronner. Dr. Bronner believes that all work being done to reduce animal suffering is important work. We meet people where they are and scale our efforts to change the world to have as broad positive results as we can. For us, that means changing policy to improve the quality of life for farm animals now, as well as promoting veganism as the most compassionate dietary choice. Although I don't see any of that promotion here, and nothing really happens for the animals now, but I said I wouldn't interject. Okay, so David is saying, we also support programs like Meatless Mondays that help people dip their toes in the waters of a more compassionate diet and overcome basic confusion and prejudice against vegan and vegetarian lifestyles. Dr. Bronners is committed to environmental and social justice and supports many different interesting issues and causes in those fights. For more information on our All One approach, please see the 2015 All One report. I don't know, included in the report, the attached essay. I don't know that I'm going to get to the attached essay talking about Dr. Bronner's reasoning for supporting various animal advocacy efforts. Oh, I should try to get to that, huh? That was written by, let's see, the essay is from Ryan Fletcher of Dr. Bronner's. Let's see. Anyway, let's see. It's clear that issues and opinions here have been well articulated on both sides already. Our respective hearts and minds are where they are, and we'll just have to agree to disagree. I don't want to waste your or my time rehashing through further on air, but please read my email response here on your show if you'd like. Okay, that's from David Bronner. Let's see here. Can I get to this attachment and see? Well, I don't know if there'll actually be time to get into. It will not be. Okay, I'll tell you what I wrote back to David Bronner after the break on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. We are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. And in just a few minutes, we will be talking to Karen Shook, the Executive Director of Kindred Spirits Care Farm in Reseda, California. But I did mention that I wanted you to hear the letter I sent back to Dr. Bronner's, my former soap company, in response to getting the letter from David Bronner of Dr. Bronner's Soap, who seems very happy that Dr. Bronner's donates about $100,000 a year to various animal organizations, or so-called animal organizations, including the Humane Society of the United States, Mercy for Animals, Farm Sanctuary, and Compassion Over Killing. So I just said back to David of my former soap company. Well, I didn't say that, but I did say, hi, David. So what you are saying is that Dr. Bronner supports the horrific confinement of countless millions of chickens in modified furnished battery cages as the humane standard, and the public deception regarding these prisons that states that the hens therein engage in natural behaviors in agreement with the groups you support, HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Farm Sanctuary, Compassion Over Killing, Compassion in World Farming. Even though these mutilated birds never feel the earth beneath their feet or sunshine on their bodies before all are brutally murdered, Cage-free is not an option. It's equally cruel. Crams tens of thousands of birds in sheds, and yet Dr. Bronner's supports that too. What you're saying is Dr. Bronner's encourages people to take advantage of the dollar discount coupon offered by the Humane Society of the United States on packages of pig body bacon, and that Dr. Bronner's is proud to have its donations to HSUS go toward the salary of its pig farmer vice president, Joe Maxwell, who personally profits by his killing of 50,000 pigs annually. You are saying that Dr. Bronner supports HSUS-sponsored events such as Hoofin' It, a four-night restaurant slaughter fest serving different hoofed animals nightly. You're saying that Dr. Bronner supports the HSUS position as stated in the Washington Post that, quote, God provided animals to humans to be eaten, end quote. You're also saying that Dr. Bronner's is proud to have contributed donations used by HSUS toward its $25 million payment to Ringling Brothers in a racketeering settlement. You're saying that Dr. Bronner's supports the HSUS position of buying dogs from breeders, eliminating any waiting time for cats to be killed in California shelters, and that dogs and cats should be sold from California shelters to private businesses for any purpose, including vivisection. Dr. Bronner's, through its support of HSUS, endorses the Meat Industry Global Livestock Alliance to try to meet a 70% increase in demand for animal products, and Dr. Bronner's supports perpetuating the myth that animal agriculture is sustainable and that grass-fed animals are a more responsible environmental choice, even though they emit up to 400% more methane than those in greater confinement. If you have any trouble explaining any of this to your concerned customers, I'm sure HSUS spokespeople Michael Vick, Wolfgang Puck, and Joe Maxwell would be happy to make appearances on your behalf. Let's see what else. I put a few links. I'll post this on Facebook. By supporting Mercy for Animals, Dr. Bronner's gives its voice to the praise of America's largest pig killing operation, Tyson's, and Dr. Bronner's therefore cheers for a new pig vivisection project, pain experimentation for baby pigs. Dr. Bronner's also joins Mercy for Animals in promoting Nestle's utter falsehood and deception that it will produce conditions of freedom for animals. One, freedom from hunger, thirst, and malnutrition. Two, freedom from fear and distress. Really, huh? Freedom from physical and thermal discomfort. Really. Freedom from pain, injury, and disease. This is a joke, isn't it, huh? Freedom to express normal patterns of behavior. Wow. Can Dr. Bronner's actually believe this? Can anyone, that the animals who are slashed into their hot pockets, Nestle's hot pockets, will live lives free from fear and physical discomfort? Nestle's is lying. Mercy for Animals is lying. Do you agree with this lie, Dr. Bronner's? And, I don't know, the group supported by Dr. Bronner's, HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Farm Sanctuary, Compassion Over Killing, have been partners with United Egg Producers. Okay, I've talked about that quite often on here, supporting the legislation written by United Egg Producers in support of, furnished battery cages. So I conclude by saying, David, your actions do nothing to help animals now or in the future. Your actions do everything to hurt animals now and in the future. You're not the first to be duped by these slick and sleazy animal betrayal specialists. While you weren't looking, they took your wonderful vegan products and added animal suffering and misery, animal torture and killing, and your products just don't appear to be vegan anymore. If you refuse to re-examine your policies and refuse to clean up your act accordingly, I'm afraid that you will lose me and many others for life. Former customer Bob Linden, Go Vegan Radio. Go Vegan Radio is now No Soap Radio. We're looking for that, for the new soap to replace Dr. Bronner's. I don't know what it will be, but we'll see. So, obviously, we don't get any of the $100,000 that Dr. Bronner donates to meat industry front groups. So you can support this show with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com. And we put on events that promote veganism, not the kind of humane myth that these groups are promoting, humane meat and, you know, the grass-fed, the free-range, all of that nonsense. Not here. We are concerned with the true work of heroes. Now, Karen Shook had a table at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and she's the executive director of Kindred Spirits Care Farm in Reseda, California. And Karen, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. I wanted to check in with you. I was just running around that event. Did you have a good time, by the way, at the summit?
We had a great time at the summit. We met so many terrific people, and it was delightful to be surrounded by vegans who understood our message and understood what we were trying to accomplish with our little farm, and met wonderful people that we are going to be doing some business with later on in time.
Well, that's terrific. That's why we have such gatherings, that like-minded people can get together and make good things happen. And you are already making some really good things happen. Tell us a bit about Kindred Spirits Care Farm. And what is a care farm?
Excellent question. Since care farms are virtually unknown in the United States, they're actually very popular in Western Europe. There's clearly, there's over 1,000 that I know about, and they've actually done tests on them. But the concept is pretty simple. It's you have a farm situation with animals and or plants. Most of them, sadly, are not vegan. We are. But the statistics still work well. And what they show is that a care farm is a situation where you have a farm and you invite people from vulnerable populations, meaning people who have maybe anxiety disorders or depression, or they have physical challenges, or they have intellectual challenges, some kind of challenge. You give those individuals a meaningful task on the farm, whether it's caring for the animals or caring for the plants or working the farm stand, something that's meaningful, and that's a critical key to the effect the farm care farms have. The meaningful work on the farm actually does tremendous things for helping heal people of their various kinds of issues. And this is long-lasting healing that goes on. So these people who are experiencing anxiety disorders, once they have a certain number of months working with the care farm organization, the better feelings that they have and the improvement that they experience in their anxiety disorder goes long past their experience with the care farm itself. So we wanted to bring care farming to the United States and add the vegan component because we, of course, really, it's at our core, we are all about three values. That's compassion, cooperation, and connection. So we are really wanting to use the farm kind of environment to help not only individual people who are from vulnerable populations, but help them introduce them, as any farmed animal sanctuary does, to farmed animals so that they can understand, and meet them as individuals and not just think of them as a product or a potential product that they might buy sliced up in some grocery store or offered in a milk carton that's completely disassociated from the individual whose life was purchased, suffered, slaughtered in order to get them those food products.
Well, in terms of care farms, you say you're the first or only vegan one. I mean, that sounds like, a really care farm, whereas one that's not vegan, I don't know how much we care farm.
Yeah.
but you talk about a vulnerable population. So you're in Reseda. Who is that vulnerable population with whom you are interacting?
The Reseda Farm is actually our pilot project. It's our first project, and it's at a high school for at-risk kids. So we are. It's a small school of 125 kids, and they've all experienced various kinds of traumas in their lives.
Okay, Karen, hold on. We have to take a break. We'll continue our discussion after the break. So stay with us. We'll continue talking to Karen Shook of the Kindred Spirits Care Farm in Reseda, California. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook goveganradio with Bob Linden. Today we are talking to Karen Shook. She's the executive director of Kindred Spirits Care Farm. The website is kindredspiritscarefarm.org, which is in Reseda, California. And before the break, Karen, you were telling us about the rescued farm animals, animals rescued from the farm who are there, but also the interaction with at-risk populations. And you were just starting to tell us with whom the animals are interacting.
Yes. It's a small high school, about 125 kids, each of which is who has experienced some number of traumas in their lives, and it's made them not really fit into a standard high school population. Some of them have been, wards of the court. They've been in gangs. They've been on drugs. They've gotten pregnant. They've been abandoned by their parents. They are homeless. You name it. They've experienced some numbers of horrors in their lives. And on the farm, in this high school, it's a very interesting high school in that they actually have a one-acre farm on the high school grounds, and the farm is populated by 42 rescued farmed animals, including two goats, a pig, two alpacas, some geese, some ducks, a bunch of chickens, it's interesting because the connection between the two is they have a similar past. Everyone on this campus, the humans and the animals included, have experienced some level of abandonment, abuse, or neglect somewhere in their lives, and that gives them an automatic connection with which to sort of understand and empathize with each other. And one of the things I love is that these kids are learning these animals, and they actually care for the animals. So they start to form a very strong relationship with animals that they wouldn't really learn or know otherwise. And they care for them every morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have a farm club where they actually work on the farm and use their Saturdays to make the farm a better place for the animals, as well as our organic garden on the farm. And a number of these kids have actually gone vegan and or started to limit their meat intake because of their relationship with these animals. And once you love a pig, it's very difficult for you to think about eating one. And once you love a chicken and get to know them and their funny, quirky, wonderful selves, it's very difficult to then go and eat some nuggets. It's a really wonderful sort of way that these kids really start to learn animals as individuals through caring for them.
Well, you've made me cry. This is so beautiful.
Yay!
Really? If I could just make one person cry every day, I'm doing my job, right? So, I mean, it's just such noble work all the way around, though. I mean, it's like, just because some people really are removed from nature and animals. I mean, so I'm sure this is having a profound effect. They're usually, you know, in a concrete jungle, basically, right? So
absolutely. And one of the things that another sort of benefit, I love this model for so many reasons, but there are so many sort of cascading benefits to what's going on there, one of which is the nutrition aspect. I mean, because not only do we show the kids what they don't want to eat, like you don't want to eat your friend the pig, you don't want to eat your friend the chicken, you don't want to eat your friend the turkey or the goose or the goat or any of those, because they're individuals and they're fun. But we show you what you can eat and what you should be eating, organic, local, homegrown vegetables. I mean, and the difference between the kind of vegetables you can get off the farm where you're growing them yourself versus the stuff you buy at 7-Eleven or, you know, or Taco Bell or Jack in the Box or those places where these kids normally eat is just extraordinarily different. The other thing we're doing is we're normalizing vegan food for them. I mean, a lot of these kids don't come from cultures where vegan food is the norm. So one of the things we do on our Saturday work days is we provide, we actually go cook at our own homes vegan lunches for the kids. We bring in a free vegan lunch for them. So as their reward for doing work on the farm all morning, we feed them wonderful, like, pastas and pestos and vegan sandwiches and vegan spaghetti and you name it. We've tried all kinds of fun things to show them that vegan food is not boring. It's actually delicious and fun and wonderful and normal. You can feel like a normal American person and eat this food, and you're satisfied without feeling heavy or kind of, you know, that horrible feeling that those of us who used to be meat eaters would get after eating a meal of dead corpses.
Yeah, definitely. Hang on a second. We have another break coming, and we'll have a few more minutes with Karen Shook of the Kindred Spirits Care Farm in Reseda, California on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linton. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Gary Francione has this week off. He will return next Sunday evening for our program then. Commentary with Professor Gary Francione back next week. We have a couple more minutes left with Karen Shook, who is the executive director of Kindred Spirits Care Farm in Reseda, California, which is doing some very noble work in uniting at-risk youth at the high school there in Reseda with rescued animals rescued from the farm, and magic is happening for everyone growing organic food there, and the kids are liking the vegan food, Karen?
Absolutely. What's not to like?
Really, of course. A rhetorical question, I suppose, right? So Yeah. So yeah, that's great. So so what are your plans? So you're at the one high school now, and what are your hopes for the future with such a program?
Oh, well, we expect to take over the world, of course.
Well, that's what we would like to have happen. It would make sense, wouldn't it? So,
absolutely. I'm facetious, of course, but I mean, but in reality, of course, our grand vision is that vegan care farms should pop up all over the United States and help people connect back with animals and have them understand animals as individuals and stop eating them and treat them with respect and to heal the people as well, so that people have less anxiety and depression and have more opportunities to be integrated and feel valued in the world. So it helps both people and animals, which is another thing I like about this model, because too often as a vegan I hear, you know, one of the things that non-vegans so often say is, why don't you care about human beings? Children are starving in Africa and all you care about are the animals. And it's like, no, that's not true. This particular model makes it very clear that vegans care about human beings too. So it helps both sides, and ultimately the whole planet. I mean, that's the
well. Right. When we do good things for animals, like go vegan, then good things happen for people too. Like they don't have as much heart disease, cancer, and stroke, and poverty in the world is diminished, and world hunger is lessened. Our planet doesn't die, and we don't go extinct. You know, just those little considerations.
Those small favors. Yes.
Right. So are
yes,
you?
The people I talk to don't have the long term vision like that. You know, they're thinking, wait a minute.
well, climate change is now a short term vision is needed for climate change now. So
yeah,
and the water crisis in California, you know. So,
exactly right.
Yeah. So can people help you in any way? Are you looking for people to join you, donate, help till the soil? What do you need?
Absolutely. We welcome people to come and visit us. We welcome volunteers. Of course, we welcome donations. We've been doing all of this for nothing. We've been financing Kindred Spirits Care Farm out of our own pockets now. And we really welcome donations because, of course, that will help everything. That'll help the farm. It'll help the animals. It'll help grow the organic vegetables. One of the things we're also looking for is people to buy our organic vegetables. We're going to be growing so much produce. We've got all these wonderful permaculture ways of really leveraging the small amount of land we've got. We only have a quarter acre, but we're growing vertically. So we're going to be having tomatoes and basil and cucumbers and peppers and all kinds of amazing things. And so we're going to be showing, we hope, at a farmer's market, hopefully in Calabasas, this summer. And we're going to have a little farm stand eventually. And we're also going to be selling, and this is from the Vegan Summit, mind you. We met a wonderful guy named Philip Lee from the Gadarene Swine at the Vegan Summit. And he's going to be buying some of our vegetables for his restaurant.
Wonderful. Oh, that's a great connection. Okay.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I'm just thrilled to death. He's a wonderful guy, and his restaurant is very cool, and it's going to be even better now that he's going to buy our really amazing organic vegetables.
Terrific. Oh, we're glad we made that connection. The website is kindredspiritscarefarm.org, kindredspirits, that's plural, carefarm.org. And thanks for being with us. And how did you find out about the summit so that you joined us with a table there? Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't remember. I've known about it for almost a year before it happened. It was just on my radar, and I don't remember exactly how I found out about it. I'm connected to lots of different things out there in the virtual world, and as soon as it showed up on my radar, I said, gotta be there.
Gotta be there, and we're so glad you were. Okay, and great talking to you today, and again, thank you, Karen, for the great work that you're doing.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you so much for letting me be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and Professor Gary Francione is off this week. He will return next Sunday night. Same station, same show. And now we talk to Laura Simonson of Indago. And now Laura was a part of the wellness revolution over 20 years ago, developing programs in vegan nutrition and fitness and bodybuilding and personal development and meditation and lecturing and speaking on those subjects. And now it looks like her life is going to the dogs. Which sounds good to me. So how are you, Laura?
I'm excellent, very much. Thank you, Bob. That's fun. We're going to the dogs.
We're going to the dogs, yeah. So, we vegans, many of us, you know, are dedicated to feeding our dogs vegan food only. Then there are other vegans who feel, I'm afraid. I have to give my dog meat, right? They're carnivores, and so you're saying that there really haven't been scientific trials yet to tell us about dogs thriving on a vegan diet, and that's where you come in.
Absolutely. There's I think there's one study, Bob. I mean, there's no science-based research in the world to prove that dogs thrive on plant-based canine nutrition.
And yet we vegans who live with them know. And then I think one of the longest living dogs, I think her name is Bramble.
Absolutely.
Bramble,
she was
right?
A border collie. Yeah, she was a border collie, which is my dog. So I just, yes.
Do you remember how long she lived? She was,
I believe it was 27. There was, between 26 and 27. But I think she has, the gal that did have Bramble, she talks about it more often now. Before, when we first started researching, it wasn't as much. But yes, a long time.
Yeah, I remember that her guardian said that Bramble ate rice and beans and greens. I know that was much of what she said, but yeah.
That's right,
So tell us what your plans are now.
Well, knowing this for, many, many years, that there really isn't any research, we made a choice that it was time to set out to start that. And so we started to gather a team of people and making calls, of course, to people that, especially in the veterinarian world, who would be open to helping us start this movement. And we actually started with Dr. Jean Dodds, who's in California. She has a beautiful, beautiful facility, which years and years ago she started to rescue greyhounds. And she felt immediately that, as soon as I called her, she said, of course the dogs can be vegetarian or vegan. Of course they can. And she's been a veterinarian now for 52 years. So when we started that, then with that kind of confidence behind us, we knew that if she was one veterinarian speaking out like that, of course there were many more. And there are. And so what we've been doing is putting together the concept that it's time to prove it through feeding trials, prove it through science-based feeding trials that can assist other people to see that, yes, vegans, we know for the most part, our food is healthy, of course. It's plants. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous food. It's food that supplies us with energy and our planet. And how can we apply that to our animals with having that same feeling of confidence and safety and security? And so we decided to put that together, and that's what we've set out to do.
And where are you now? Oh, and I think that when many vegans hear something about a trial or an experiment, they get a little concerned that we're talking about laboratories and animal experimentation, right?
Right.
When we hear about something like that, but I don't think that's.
We're going to go opposite. We're going to go the exact opposite. We're going to say, why don't these beautiful dogs stay at home and eat beautiful food? And food that, of course, that, will be creating the formulations and all, clean, beautiful vegan food, that they do stay at home. And really outside of the trial foods, all they'll be doing is drinking fresh water. And so they do, the people that will be a part of the trial do have to, be a part of signing documents to say, yes, we'll feed the dog exactly what we were supposed to do. And for the most part, what we felt, Bob, was, wow, vegans, we love food, right? And so it's going to be easy for them to, what would be the word for it called? I'm trying to remember, think of the word. But, follow all of the food instructions because they just love food anyways and they want to help with that. So we feel like it's going to be really successful that way. So they stay at home. They don't go anywhere near labs.
Right, so the dogs are in loving homes and they're eating good, delicious, healthy vegan food.
Exactly.
That's the idea. Okay.
Exactly.
And you have a website for this, which is plantpoweredogs.com.
Plantpoweredogs.com is our website, which shows all the veterinarians that are behind this, the core team that's involved. It also shows the plan through the 4-month feeding trials. And then, of course, it will link to the crowdfund campaign, which we've just started last Monday. And so this campaign, is set up specifically to fund each dog in the trial and have a whole team of vegan communities around the world coming together to help make this happen.
And everything is fairly, open source, are you saying? Open source?
Absolutely. That's right. We felt that it's similar to the company that actually started to, they developed protocols at Cal Poly Pomona in California, and they said, they weren't a vegan company, but they said, these protocols are available to anybody.
Laura, we need to take a break, so we will continue our discussion on the other side of the break on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com and Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. can support the program with a tax-deductible donation by clicking donate at goveganradio.com. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Our thanks for support for the World Vegan Summit and Expo and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Thanks to SelectT, that's S-E-E-L-E-C-T, SelectT.com. And you can order online. Remember, tea is the second most popular beverage in the world, right behind water. So check out the website. There are 44 varieties of organic teas, 77 medicinal teas, 14 flavored teas, 13 tea blends and formulas, and you have black and green organic tea, hibiscus and medicinal herb loose tea, all at selectt.com. Order online, selectta.com. We're talking to Laura Simonson of Indago, talking about what scientific trials might say about dogs thriving on a vegan diet. And so, Laura, you will be conducting these trials, and you were saying everything will be open to the public in terms of seeing what you're doing?
Of course, and that's the whole concept here is that we want the whole world to go vegan, right? Mm-hmm. We want all dogs to be experiencing this food as well. So it doesn't make sense not to share it. To us, it's a natural process. Let's share this information so that even any dog food company can use this information. Mm-hmm. So even, of course, any of the vegan brands, they can use this information. They can look at the formulations and they can create them themselves.
The vegan entrepreneurs out there going to farmers markets.
There you go. Right.
So, yeah. And what's your website for this?
The website itself, if you go to plantpowereddogs.com, and that will take you to the crowdfund site, which will explain the story there as well. And so you just go to plantpowereddogs.com.
Okay. And who's on your team? Who's working with you?
Golly. We have a lot of great people working with us, Bob. We've been very fortunate. So our core team are, entrepreneurs and also, of course, people that have been involved in health and wellness. So Brenda Davis, RD, she's one of the most well-known registered dietitians, vegan dietitians. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jean Dodds is, again, she's one of the foremost holistic veterinarians in the world. She's renowned for her work in everything from thyroid to hematology to nutrigenomics. So she's a brilliant woman and a very compassionate soul. So she's a part of our team. And then we have on the veterinarian side, we have Dr. Armaiti May, who's working with us. We have Dr. Andrew Knight. We have Dr. Armaiti May. And let's see here, my next one. Dr. Michael Rothwell, and he's also part as well. So we've got many people that are coming. They're asking us to, what can we do? How can we be a part of this? And so they're serving as an independent review panel.
It's wonderful to see veterinarians in support of the vegan cause.
Big time. And you know what? You know what we've found, Bob, is that there are so many that have not come out yet. There's so many that want this to happen. There's many that I haven't mentioned yet. They're still, we're in the conversations right now, and they've been waiting for this. It's as though they've been waiting for this. Mm. And so as we come together and start to do it together, we can actually become larger, right? We can start to reach out to more and more of the veterinarian community that really does want this sort of information to come to surface. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday I had a referral to 5 new vegan veterinarians that I didn't even know about. And I've been researching this for years.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's mm-hmm. great that they are surfacing. You know, I've had Armaiti May on the program in the past.
You bet.
Barry Taylor, she spoke at the World Vegan Summit and Expo.
Yeah,
but
Barry, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting that veterinarians would. I'm just shocked that veterinarians are caring about animals. Don't ask me why that should be shocking, right?
I know. But I think it's a part similar to what maybe we've all found when we first started living a vegan lifestyle. You know, personally, when we make these kind of changes, we also, you know, have to let go of the old. Or we take a risk, in a sense, coming out with our families and our friends going, oh my God, you're going to die, you don't have enough protein, all those things that we've lived with. But there's so much more to this, and the veterinarians feel the same way.
That's great. Well, Laura, we are out of time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank
you. And come back and report on the progress, Laura Simonson. And it is plantpoweddogs.com. Thanks for listening. Professor Gary Francione back next week. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Thank you. Love animals. Don't eat them or their secretions. Go vegan.